You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. If you missed our earlier program, which is a tragic aspect of what's taken place with James Foley, with the beheading of the American journalist, but also remember all the beheadings of the Christians, the murdering of the Christians in northern Iraq, ISIS, and what's taken place. But what you also saw in an earlier program, if you missed it, is prophecy, where God is speaking. And that's one very important thing to really, when you think about VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, is that it's prophecy. It's, in other words, prophecy is this. Prophecy is like history in advance. I never looked at that Pat's a prophet or I'm a prophet, but we do look like, wow, that was prophetic. That was a prophetic encounter. And then we put it available for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and it has a drop-down menu for prophecies. You can go back and see, this is what was said on this date, and this is it coming to pass. This is what's said on this date, and this is coming to pass. I mean, we even have videos of the fulfillment of those prophecies. And so, and one was what we talked about in the earlier program. You got to get it. If you missed it, you can go to VFNTV.com and get it, or get it on the app. Is that somebody from ISIS was standing in front of the White House. You know, CBN has a picture of someone that is there with the ISIS flag standing in front of the White House, the ISIS flag. And I'm sure that the reporter that was there, Jay Tapper, did not know what was behind him.
Right.
But behind him was, and that's the person, if you see the video, and maybe we can make the video available on the Torch as well. There was somebody, it was all folded up. The sheet was that was painted, you know, ISIS is here in Ferguson, and they kept trying to position themselves. So this, I don't think Jay didn't. I'm sure he wouldn't have wanted that behind him anyway. But then we hear this prophecy, you know, how God spoke about in front of the White House, this would take place, something like this would take place, communism and that type of thing. And then the Guy Fawkes mask, and make sure you want to, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so it ended our previous program. You can catch it in its entirety, like I said, at VFNTV.com. But it ended on a reality of, you know, you think about this, and this is what I want to talk about in this program, is when God heard the cries of his people, they were in slavery for 400 years, the Jews were in Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they were in pain. They were, you know, forget about taxation without representation. There were slaves, you know, making bricks with no straw. All these terrible things are going on under oppression. But they cried out to God. In their pain, they cried out to God. And so many people say, well, you know, God's not going to answer you. Well, they were a basket case. They weren't righteous. They were just crying out because of the pain. Mm-hmm. It's God that's righteous. God, it's God that's good. Mm-hmm. And so in the captivity of the Jews, in Egypt, mind you, they cried out and God heard their cries and he went and verified, this is what's happening to my people. And because he's good, because God is good, he sent a deliverer. He raised up a deliverer to be able to deliver his people out of this bondage because of their pain. Our God is so good, even when we're so bad, but yet we're suffering the consequences of our own choices or decisions, or maybe not. But we're crying out to God. God's so good. He just steps in there and rescues us.
Yeah.
And not only did he rescue Israel, but he said, you know, I want to take you away from this place of servitude and oppression and darkness and you know, demons and everything else that's happening there with all these false gods in Egypt. And I want to bring you to a place. I got a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a nice place. It's a place that, you know, it's going to have, you know, milk and honey in it. I mean, it's going to be a place that's just going to be, you're going to be blessed. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to carry you. from captivity to this beautiful land flowing with milk and honey that you're going to be blessed in. A land, by the way, that people are fighting over today, Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the original story. I mean, this is this is God's narrative from heaven. This is who. This is what's really going on. And so, of course, I mean, if you're in slavery, you're in it's oppression, and you're in pain, the first thing you say, "Yeah, take me. I'm yours. Let's go." But it wasn't a few moments later till they began to say, speak against the leadership, speak against the direction that was going on. Moses, what have you done here? Here our back is against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army's coming against us. Nobody ever realizing that the only reason you're in this place right now that looks to you like a dead end is actually your land of opportunity, and you had to be taken that way because if you would have went some other way, you would have went back. But he's trying to bring you into a place, a blessed land. He said, don't take them on the short route. If you take them on the short route, they'll go back.
Right.
He's like, I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to give you this place. I mean, you cried out, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Long story short, they go through the Red Sea. They come out, and they're ready to go and go into the promised land, the land that he said he prepared for them. But think about it. So here we were, they're fixing the government. God parted the Red Sea. You were in slavery. And all you got to do is get out of bed and get a job to get this thing. All you got to do is fight for it. All you got to do is stick, stay, and stand and believe God for it. And they weren't even willing. They weren't even willing to face the conflict they were going to have to face to be able to get the promised land. And all these spies went in, that Moses sent in to be able to check things out. And truly, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was just the biggest grapes, and all this great stuff was going on there. But Moses comes about to get the report from the guys, and the guys are telling him, like, hey, it's great, we can do something, and all of a sudden it's counteracted. Caleb's report was, we can do this thing. But these other people begin to say, no, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Mm. These things are furious. These are like giants in the land. These are like son of the giant folks, And it's like, we can't do this thing. Isn't that crazy? It's like, don't you remember what you were when you first were found? Think about it. Don't you remember what you were when God first found you? And now all of a sudden you're going to bring your opinion into this thing? Mm. I mean, how foolish is that? I mean, think about it. God's bringing you to a place to bless you, but you're not willing to do any work or put out any effort to be able to receive that which God has for you. It's not going to come like pennies from heaven. It's going to come because you put your feet where God told you to put your feet. It's going to come because you say in faith what God told you to say. I mean, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. It's forceful men that lay hold on it. That's what he said from the time of John the Baptist. And it's just the way it is. And so they go there. And so you have the folks, when they take them to the very place that God's going to give them, they started finding negative stuff about it. Yeah, it is streets of gold in heaven, but it's not four lane, and the traffic's going to be bad in heaven, right?
It's true.
And if I got to stand in line, if I got to stand in line, how many rooms is there going to be in my mansion?
All right,
right.
Better have AC.
This is what was going on, because they realized that it could cost them something. That everything's just not going to be handed to them, which is really interesting to me too, because when you think about it, if anybody you would think that works for something, it would be somebody who was a slave, that they would be willing to do anything. And truly, if you look historically, that is true, because I know that when America, when it got its sanity and realized that slavery was evil, the best business folks in America in regards to agriculture were the slaves, because mm-hmm. they began to grow their own cotton. And some of their cotton was so good. One particular man, the Pope, would come all the way to his particular property to buy his,
wow,
his cotton. But you would think that would be just a normal type. You would be able to fight for this thing, but they were terrified to be able to go in and to be able to fight. And it's like, you got to be willing to go in, but this is the thing I'm talking about today. We're not that generation that was in slavery. you know, that God heard our cry. We're not the generation faced with looking, peeking into the promise and going in there. We're this other generation. Because what happened with that generation, God was so upset at what these people had said, because he said they went around spreading bad news and doubt. They went speaking against what God said, and they stirred up all the people against what God said. And he said, these guys, I'm going to take them out. I'm going to totally take them out. God was just going to start over again with Moses. And Moses said, which is so important when you think about interceding, Moses began to talk with the Lord and say, you know, everybody knows what's happened. You know, I preached the message you told me to preach, and they freed them up. They freed them up, and here they are. But they're going to say, you know, that you carried them out, but you actually slaughtered them in the wilderness. And that's what he's talking about. You know, would you forgive them?
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't saying, would you forgive them because they deserve it? He said, you know, would you forgive them because of the scenario? And God says this. He says, because you asked, yes, I'm going to forgive them. But think about it. How many people just like, that's it. You've cost us the promise too many times, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, we're not praying, God forgive them.
No.
But understand the perspective was that, what's this going to do to your name? You know, we're here to glorify your name, God. And you know, by forgiving them, you know, it helps your name. And God responded to that. But then he says but the ones that went around spreading this negative news about the promise, they're gone. Immediately they were hit with a plague and they were destroyed. So if you think that God's not interested in the bad news that you're spreading, trying to prevent people to be able to pursue the will and the promise of God, that proves the fact that God's upset with you about that. Mm-hmm. But I pray that God would forgive you, and for his name's sake, as we can enter in to the promise of God. But that's not even our generation, because that generation didn't even get into the promised land, because the next generation after them, their kids, they got 40 years in the wilderness. That their kids are the ones that went in and fought for the land and took the land that we call Israel today. And so they begin to live in the promise. They begin to experience this. You know, when you look at and read the Bible, that's what you're reading about. They're experiencing the land of Israel and the blessings of God and the land flowing with milk and honey. And we get back, I'm going to talk to you about our generation. What I'm beginning to see it as, and we're not any of those. We're a different generation. God is a good God, and God hears us in our time of crying out, and God responds because he's good, and he forgives, and he's merciful, and he's graceful. He's grace-filled, and he wants to just lavish his grace upon us, and he does. But to beginning to understand our generation, because we're a unique generation when you look at America, you know, we're not those generations that this present generation, we're not talking about several back, but this present generation is the one that's coming out of slavery. We have wounds from slavery that need to be healed, and the church needs to deal with some many sins in that area, and we're not the one standing on the outside of America looking into America going like, we can't take this thing. It's just too big. We'll die in Jamestown. No, we're not going to make it through Plymouth Rock. We're not those folks. And we're not the generation that came in like George Washington and said, is there not a cause? I mean, we can't serve under, there's a reason why we need to declare our independence from a king. We're not that generation.
Yeah.
We're this generation. Because you see, God said, I have a place for you. I'm taking you to a place. A land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to send spies in this land, and you're going to come back, and you're going to see the big grapes. You're going to see the great provision, that everything I said is true. I mean, you're going to have to fight for it, but you fight for it. You're going to have it because I've got this for you. We're not that generation. We're the generation that's been living in the land flowing with milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to believe God when God sends us a deliverer that says, you know, come out of slavery and I'll lead you to meet the Father in the wilderness, and I'm going to release the laws on Mount Sinai, and we don't have to do all that. It's already been done.
Hmm.
We're not the generation that has to be convinced that God will take down these giants when we go into the land and we have to fight for it and God's going to give us. We're not that generation. And we're not even the generation that fought for it. We're the generation that's been living in it. They had to believe God before it manifested. We have to believe God in the manifestation of the promise.
Mm. Wow.
We have to believe God. We have to believe him that this country is a country that he blessed. That truly God blessed America. Mm. We have to believe that there's no human mind that could have come up with an idea called the U.S. Constitution that's shaken the dark side of America, of the world, trying to figure out how can we undo this Constitution? People shouldn't have rights, you know? God says in his word, he says, I will decide if a nation shall be lifted up and blessed, and I'll decide if one should be taken down. In other words, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's what he said. And he says, if the nation that I intended to do good to it turns away from me, I'll stop the good I intended for it. But if she repents, I'll continue to do good for it. In other words, God is the one that brought us to America. He allowed you to live in America. There's a reason why people are coming over the borders in America. They want to be in the land flowing with milk and honey and opportunity. There's a reason why people who don't live in America understand America better than the people this generation that live in it. They're saying, if I go there and if I sacrifice, if I fight, if five of us live in a household and we all work in the store, in about 10 years or 20 years, we will actually be successful versus the generation that's here that doesn't even work at all.
Yeah.
The narrative is people are not even believing. They're listening to the adversary tell you that America's not good, that it does not have unique principles that are founded on God, that everywhere you see these scriptures written on our monuments and in our Congress and the Mosaic law that you see and everything, they're telling you that has nothing to do with God. That's a lie. Granted, you're looking at a nation walking away from that, but you can look back and go, wait a minute, I got to begin to believe now. My job now is to believe that this honey is what God gave me. This milk is what God gave me. That this country, it's okay for me to fight for this country.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to stand up and hold my hand over my heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Think about it. It's okay to do that. It's okay to be able to memorize the Declaration of Independence, the 24 some odd reasons, you know, why they had to declare their independence from the king. It's okay to go back and listen and watch in VFNTV.com, you know, America, how we got here and how we stay here. Because when you find out how we got here, it's because men found God. But when men found God, religion, spiritual dark religion, didn't want them to have a relationship with God. They wouldn't let them worship. They were oppressing them, killing them, beheading them, hanging them, all these different things. In the name of God. And so they got on boats and came to a land that they could worship God freely. And in time they realized, we have to declare our independence from this king because it's still not happening. These soldiers are busting into our houses. They're searching our belongings. This is not free. We can actually be what Israel was when they gave up. When Israel gave up in the wilderness, they said, you know, we want a king like everyone else. And it's like, you're one nation under God, Israel. Mm-hmm. Why do you want, Samuel's going, I mean, he's going like, why would y'all want to leave God? And they did. They said, we don't want God's form of government. We want a king like everyone else. And it wasn't till men found God that they realized, wait a minute, you can actually be a nation under God. So what Israel left when they said, we want a king like everyone else, and God said, give them what they want. America, because they found the God of the Bible, when the Bible finally got in the hands of the plowshare, the plowman, when the Gutenberg printing press began to print the Bible and everybody got to read the Bible and find out, oh my goodness, God loves me personally. Hmm. That God dwells with us. That if we follow the ways of God, he can keep us. His spirit leads us. If we put God over the country, then we don't need a king. We don't need a tyrant. We don't need communism. We don't need socialism. We can actually begin to just preach the gospel, and the gospel will begin to minister to the hearts of men. And in that part of your country, that will keep the whole place sound and blessed. So the whole thing is our generation is, we got to begin to believe again. We got to begin to believe that this nation came from God. We got to begin to believe and understand we cannot have this nation if we refuse to have God, because they come together. First came God, then came country. You know,
yeah.
For God and country, not for country and gods. And understand that we have to begin to believe again. So when we believe, we begin to say, "Dear Lord, I've sinned against you. I mean, I thought I could have this. I thought politics was the answer. I thought, you know, getting my way and getting in a union was my answer. I thought doing marriage my way and all these things was my answer. But the truth is, what is your way? I got to find out what do you say? We're going to get back to the original intent. What is the original intent of this nation? I mean, the unique thing about us in this generation is, you know, we have to begin to believe that the milk that we've been drinking and the honey that we've been eating is what God did. And if we care about anybody other than ourselves, the next generation, we're going to begin to credit God for that. And we're going to begin to find out, what does it mean to turn back to God, to acknowledge God? When you think about another, you got all of our partners, don't forget it. You have total availability of all of our teachings there for you. And one of them, of course, is, you know, America, how we got here, how we stay here. Another is positioning yourself to be able to receive from God. But also, is America under God's judgment? And if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com. But listen, the question you have to ask yourself, if we fail to acknowledge God, if we fail to acknowledge how America got here, if we fail to acknowledge that this milk and honey that makes us richer than 70% of our poorest person, richer than 70% of the world's population, if we don't say that comes from God, we're not going to have it. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any more honey in our hand, any more milk in our hand. And the only thing the enemy can do, this is all he can do, is spread a lie to you and begin to cause you to feel guilty, cause you to feel bad, cause you to feel that really, you know, you don't need God. And besides, we need to redistribute this milk and honey across the world. And all of a sudden, it's like government becomes God. And they take credit for everything. And God no longer is acknowledged. And he said, when this happens, you start entering into three phases of judgment that if you don't repent, you won't even have a nation. We're looking at, you know, what is our generation? What are we going to have to do to be able to respond to what God is doing? Because God is a good God. I mean, mm-hmm. God wants to be able to bless and to deliver and all the things that he's always done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I was talking about, we got to begin to believe that. You got to begin to look at the original intent. How did you get here? How did America get here, and how do we stay here? And realize that, you know, when I'm looking at numbers here, when the Lord is dealing with those that began to spread all this contrary news, he said, listen, in verse 36, Numbers 14:36, he says, so the men Moses had sent to explore the promise, the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading bad reports about it. Think about that.
Hmm.
These men are responsible for spreading bad reports about the land where they were struck down with a particular plague that the Lord had allowed to come upon these guys. Well, right now there's a lot of people with cameras or media that are saying these wrong reports about America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no big deal unless you believe it. Now, when these guys started talking, because you had Caleb and you had Joshua, and they believed. They believed what God said. They followed Moses. They honored Moses. They honored God. But these people, even after Caleb talked, they went out to all the community and began to organize the community against Moses. They began to say the wrong opposite thing of what God was saying, and God's just getting upset. He's so upset, as I was talking about earlier. He was ready. He was going to kill them all.
Hmm.
He was going to kill them, to the point where the word slaughter was used by Moses when he was interceding for him. You know, then you slaughtered him in the wilderness. It's not going to look good, you know, man. I mean, he's so upset. I mean, think about it. Do you remember what you were when God first found you? I mean, think about it. I mean, all of us outside of John, we were in a bad place, you know, but The please write. No, the no, we know we're joking. But think about it. How can we get to a place that all of a sudden that we're going to critique the blessing and begin to criticize the honey, begin to complain about the milk, begin to feel guilty about the milk and the honey instead of being thankful and grateful and acknowledging God about it? And he's like, what do we do? And like I said, you know, right there for our partners, just right there for you. All these teachings are available for you. The Green Room, everything's available for our partners. If you're not one, become one. Go to VFNTV.com. But listen, you got to begin to position yourself to receive from God. You've made some wrong alliances in your life. You made some wrong partnerships. You partnered with people that were against the promised land. You've partnered with people that were against the plans of God. Yes, they once walked with God, and maybe even God chose them. But that's what happened with Jehoshaphat. I mean, Jehoshaphat, here he is, a king chosen by God. And another king comes up to him, a King Ahab, and he goes, hey, I need somebody to fight with me. I need somebody that would build an alliance with me and be on the front lines together. And so, hey, you know, we're family. You love God. I love God.
Let's do this.
You know, this is what happened. He said, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. What could be wrong with that? God was so upset about that alliance because Ahab, though he was next in order to be king, he provoked God and did everything wrong towards God. And you can't just have those kind of alliances. You've got to separate yourself from those who separate themselves from God, even though they once walked with God. And God showed up and said, basically, I'm going to take you out of this world. Jehoshaphat. I mean, with Ahab, it's like Jehoshaphat, because he was a good king until he made a wrong alliance. And he's like, you know, I can't believe, you know, what you've done here. And so Jehoshaphat begins to position himself. Jehoshaphat begins to position himself to be able to receive from God. And it's so important. And this is available to you right now. If you're a pastor, if you're a leader, or maybe you're a family, a parent, so I don't know. You got to go there and you got to become a partner and get this. It's available for you. It's so small. I think it's like $9.95 a month or something like that. Everything's yours. Everything's yours. Unlimited access. Understand this. You got to position yourself now before this storm happens, before this trouble happens, because Jehoshaphat began to cry out to God. He positioned himself and he realized, I got to begin to acknowledge God. I got to begin to repent and acknowledge my sin. And I got to begin to thank God because God is the one that is going to deliver us, that has delivered us. And that's what I got to begin to do. And he did. So he positioned himself and humbled himself and received from God. And whatever God told him, he believed it. He wasn't like these folks that spread around the bad news that, oh, it's over now and that God can't deliver us from this. And no, America was a mistake and Israel was a mistake. And this promised land is not from God. And where'd you get that glass of milk from anyway? And you should be handing that to other folks and all this. He didn't say that. He did exactly what God did. And God told him to do. And God told him, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to gather everybody up and I want you to begin to thank me. I want you to begin to focus your attention on me. Because remember, I'm the one that brought you in this world and I'm the one that took you out of this world. Begin to focus on me and believe me. And if you'll believe me and focus on me and praise me for the victory in this, because the battle is not yours, America, the American church. The battle is the Lord's. But you have to understand, we got in this boat because we quit believing that this country's God is one. Bless this country. He's the one that founded it. No man's wisdom can rise up against God's plans. I mean, it's God's plans. And maybe, you know, if we choose not to position ourselves like Jehoshaphat did, we'll get the consequences Jehoshaphat didn't. But he humbled himself and he began to praise God and focus on the Lord and thank him for the victory, because the Lord told him, the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. I'm going to re-get you something you didn't get in the first place. All you got to do is believe. And so he began to praise God. They began to blow horns and sing. And even though the enemy was coming to destroy them, I mean, the enemy was coming the next day. I mean, you got those people that just love it. I just want to let you know that they're going to kill you. You didn't know that, right? Texas coming in, and not T-E-X-A-S, but T-E-X-T.
Apostrophe. Right, right.
And just they're wanting, I just want to let you know it's over. You know, it's like, great. I mean, the news was always, they're going to be here tomorrow. The enemy's going to be here tomorrow. Imagine that. This is where America's at right now. The church in America. What are we going to do? Are we going to begin to believe the narrative, the lying narrative of darkness that says, in our own strength, somehow we've raised up this country and we're the ones that came up with this great concept of kindness to the world, and you know, the humanitarian and aid, and it was us that won the World War I, and it was us that won World War II. It wasn't the mercies of God and the grace of God, and it wasn't the values of this nation. You know, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? But if we begin to believe, he began to praise God. He began to, this is what God said. This is what he's had to do. You got to just like, look at me, Jehoshaphat. Keep your eyes on me. Realize it's just me. I'm the one that's going to deliver you. I'm the one that brought you in this world. I can take you out. If you do this, I'll deliver you from this enemy. So he positioned himself to receive from God. And there's a whole series on this. You need to hear it, because you got to, precept upon precept, you got to change the way you think. You got to change the way that you operate in your conversation. And he said, the battle is not yours, the battle is mine, if you'll do this. And he did it. And as they begin to praise God and begin to march out towards the enemy, they didn't run from the enemy. They're not hiding out in some cave somewhere with 15 beans and a backpack. They confronted them. And the only thing I could think about right now, I'm like, look at the Kurds. Look at the Kurds in Iraq. Mm-hmm. What are they, like 12 folks? I mean, look how small they are.
That's right.
But you know what they're doing? They're facing ISIS. America wasn't even facing ISIS. The Muslim nations weren't facing ISIS. The Iraqi military dropped their weapons and ran, and then that's how ISIS got these weapons. But these Kurds, the Peshmerga, or what do you call them? The Pers, whatever. This military and the Christian military, they just stood up like Jehoshaphat and said, you know, we don't even need you to do it. If you just give us the weapons, we're gonna stand up against this. And they took back the Mosul Dam. Mm-hmm. That was going to kill over 500,000 people, supposedly. This small group of believers. And it's like, okay, we can do that. We can believe.
Right.
We can believe. I mean, think about it. We can believe again. It's okay to believe that God is the one that blessed this nation. It's okay to realize we have gone astray. But all that means, now we know we can come back to the original intent of the nation. It's okay to go, yes, I've sinned. I have. You know, maybe this is my own sin that's caused this. But Lord, I want you, will you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you cleanse the land? Would you turn us around? And he does. So here he is, just like the military from the Kurds marching out against ISIS boldly. They went out and they didn't have any weapons at all. They just began to praise God. They just praised him. And they knew that he was the one that, it was his plan, his idea. And as they were praising the Lord and they banked over this hill, imagine, and you're about to face the enemy right now, but now you're praising God. When they got over the hill, they found out that God had already routed their enemies. Hmm. So what is it? There's so many people right now are thinking that hate is the answer. That is so ridiculous, because love is what brought Jesus in our lives. God so loved the world that he gave his son. How was hate going to get us out of this thing? It's love. And you think about this. And does God do these miracles amongst you because you obey some law, because you believe? When we get back, we're going to talk about, you know, we got to begin to believe again. It's okay to believe. It's okay to look history square in its face, repent for the sin, and appreciate the promise, the milk and the honey, and find out how, dear God, help us keep what you gave us. Show us, Lord, how to repent. Dear God, bring a third great awakening on this nation. You think about this. So we have to be like Jehoshaphat. We made some pretty bad alliances. We definitely have made some in the last 6 years. But we've actually made a lot more than that. There's one thing I think that the last 6 years has, well, the Lord has taught me quite a bit in the last few years, is he's called me off to himself and speak to me about some things, and about naivety and realizing that sometimes most folks live about an inch deep. They're about an inch deep and a mile wide. But if my experience is a mile deep, I mean, think about it, mm-hmm. then we can never relate. And for some reason, maybe it's because of all the technology, people say, well, I don't have to learn anything. Because I could just find it at an instant. I could just, if I need it, I could find it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to know nothing. But when you know nothing, you're destroyed for a lack of knowing nothing. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And coming together, understanding about our country, we need to find out the history of our nation. How did we get here and how do we stay here? And God responds by faith. So if the enemy can cause you to sow doubt in your heart, if he can cause you to be double-minded about all the things, it's like, you know, I want to be thankful for the country, but I just left my school and this teacher told me I can't even stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance to it. I'm confused.
Wow.
The history books now are talking about, you know, America is a bad nation, and that, and then other gods, it's like our president saying that, you know, America's no longer a Christian nation. And weren't we one nation under God? And how does that reckon with the reality that everywhere you look, God's word is in the country? And then the Ten Commandments are right there in the Supreme Court. And how come, you know, you have all this, what you do is you have double-mindedness. And James, he tells us that a double-minded man gets nothing from God. But that's what the enemy will do. The enemy will try to get you to say, you know, you made some bad alliances, it's over, you know, that there's no way out of this. But we serve a God who wanted to bless us, wants to bless us, and he doesn't want to take away any of his blessings. He wants us to stay in a place that he gave us. But we can't stay in it. He's the one that keeps us here. So we have to be like Jehoshaphat and say, we've sinned. You know, I need to position myself to hear from you. When you tell me whatever to do, I'm going to do what you told me to do. And I'm going to praise you for the victory, because you're the one that brought me the victory in the first place and brought us in here. And we're like this generation that, you know, we're literally drunk on the milk of the promised land. 70%, some statistics say, of Americans are obese on the honey. So we're evidence. Well, look at me. I mean, we're evidence that we're blessed. But do we credit God for that? I mean, do we credit God for giving us the milk, giving us the honey, you know, causing these things to happen? Today you're looking at, and you can see in our future program, the last part of the series about how God is blessing Israel and showing that the technology and the innovativeness and all that's taking place. But that's what America used to be known for. And it's really still happening, but it's like that narrative is being snuffed out by this doubt. Those ones that God talked about and went around spreading the bad news and getting people divided from the promised land. That's what was going on. They were going around saying, listen, and think about it. God freed them, freed Israel, freed the Jews from slavery, had this land set up for them for milk and honey. He was going to give them the victories if they listened to him. They were going to have victories. They're going to have this land. And all of a sudden, these fellow slaves start talking their opinion about things. It's like, weren't we making bricks with no straw together a few months ago?
Right.
You know, when did you graduate from I Know Everything About God, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, come on, God's going to do this thing. He's good. We can just believe him. And so the question is, to us in our generation, are we going to believe again? Is it okay to believe? There's so many things that have been said. So many things have been done wrong. And maybe your sin is so dark, you're thinking, you know, because you believed it, you bought into it, and you sold out, and you all of a sudden went for everything that God said was wrong, but you brought into the narrative that God no longer matters, and now you just dove into all that darkness. But you know what? Just like he found you the first time laying in your pool of blood, and he looked at you and said, live, and he began to adorn you and bless you, that can happen again. We serve a God of a second and third and fourth chance. He's just good. But he's waiting for us to begin to believe. Understand, when we believe that Jesus died for our sins, we repent for them. When you believe that Jesus died for your sins and you don't repent for them, you really don't believe Jesus died for your sins. Well, you're saying that because the price of our sin was the death of God's son. I mean, that belief in itself causes us to be remorseful for the very thing that caused God to have to give his son so that we could be in relationship with him. When we believe that God has given us this nation, you know, gave us, raised it up, blessed it and from its beginning, then we would go back and begin to find out something like the Founder's Bible by David Barton and begin to say, you know, the integratedness of what these men and women thought about our nation and God when they were doing these different things. I mean, think about the First Amendment to the Constitution. The biggest thing that it says is that you can actually acknowledge and worship God freely, and nobody can mess with that. Why is that the first one? Because it's one nation under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. Why are people trying to come over your borders? You know, the narrative, the lie the enemies tell us so many folks is because they're oppressed and they're being treated terrible. No, they're coming to America because they have hope. They think if I can just get to America, then I can actually start a business. And then you have Americans who've been living in the milk and the honey for all this time, not even working. I mean, like 50 some odd percent or something, not even working. Why the people that come into the nation who understand America, because they understand what it's not like not to have right. America, they start a business. And then Americans who got milk and honey dripping from their mouth criticize this particular person, even categorize them in a nationality because they believe the American dream. And it's like, it's only because you don't believe anymore. The dream is still here. The question is, are we going to believe it anymore? Are we going to believe that truly it is one nation under God? And no matter how far she's gone, understand God was going to destroy Jehoshaphat. God was going to come down and just wreak havoc on Israel, his own folks, because of wrong alliances. And this is what really encourages me too, because America's made a lot of wrong alliances right now. Well, that's what Jehoshaphat did. What does that mean? That means that our leadership of our country can repent just like Jehoshaphat did. And just like God forgave Jehoshaphat and began to bless Israel, God can do the same thing for our leadership and for America. We got to begin to pray for folks. We got to begin to believe for America. We got to begin to say, you know what? I think I'm going to read the Declaration of Independence. I think I'm going to read the Constitution. I'm going to give me a little pocket version of it and find out, you know, what do we believe? I'm going to begin to you know, look at these monuments and what's written on them. I'm going to begin to really see, is the Ten Commandments really on the Supreme Court? I'm going to begin to see, what is the downfall of a nation? It's when they fail to acknowledge God. I'm going to begin to acknowledge God. What is the thing? How do we fight? How does the church fight for America? We got to begin to believe again that it's God that led us and gave our forefathers this land flowing with milk and honey, and not blow it while our mouths are dripping with honey and milk, and criticizing those who are coming over our borders going, I get it. I get it. I get it. And God said, well, okay, I'm going to give it to you because they no longer appreciate what I gave them anymore. Dear Lord, forgive us. Thank you for giving us this nation. Help us to appreciate it and to acknowledge you. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.